How was your week? Did you do everything without murmuring and complaining? Did you imitate Christ? You know, as the Bible says there in Philippians chapter 2, in the passage that we looked at, you know that in all that we do, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How successful? I don't use that word successful, you know, because it's not in our own strength. It's relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit who is in each one of us as believers in Christ. How was the assignment? The attitude? Was Jesus very evident in your life, in your heart, and in your soul? You know, there in verse 8, you know, about Jesus, as we looked at last week, you know, we do find, you know, that in the appearance of man, as we read about that in that verse, that he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And so as we look at those verses about Jesus, as Paul is stressing to the church of Philippi, he's addressing this church as well, that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, very obedient, the path of the cross. He endured the suffering, as it says there in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that for the joy that was before him, he endured all the shame, because he knew what it was about to bring. And I think, you know, our desire, you know, is that of Christ Jesus, is likewise to be the same as well. The intent to make a difference in the world that we live in, as Jesus himself came to make a difference, and how he made a difference in your life. And I thought, Lord, help me to have that same attitude, to have that same framework of mind in all that I say and all that I do, all that I go about accomplishing, whether at work or at home, that I would have the very same attitude of Christ Jesus. Paul talks about that, I believe, in verses 12 through 18. He makes reference to himself in that passage, yes. But he gets very precise with them. He commends them, so to speak, you know, on their obedience. As he talks about there in verse 12, he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Father, I don't know what the past week has been like for your folks, but you know. You were with them. You were with them at work. You were with them when they were playing. You were with them at camp. You were with them in the grocery store. You were with them as we're driving down the road. You were with them in the doctor's office. You were with them no matter where. As we think of those places that we were this past week, you were with us. You were standing beside us. You were watching us. You were observing. You were listening to every word that we uttered. And you watched everything that we had done as well. And we realize that truth. We fall short, and perhaps we have sinned. Oh God, forgive us and forgive me. Because sometimes, Lord, our actions and my actions have not honored or reflected you in any way, because it was all about me insisting on my rights and my demands and my selfishness. Our selfishness. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and revive our souls. As we look at these verses, as you inspired the apostle of old to write to the church of Philippi, so inspire our hearts as well with the same message. It'll strike a chord in our very innermost being, that we too, Lord, will be having this desire to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is you working in us to act and to will according to your good pleasure, your good overall purpose for our lives, from the youngest to the oldest. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Move in our hearts, for you are already in our hearts. So move in such a way that we will hear what you have to say to each one of us. And though I know that they hear my voice, they see my antics, but Lord, I want them to see you and to hear your voice and to know, as we leave this place, we can say in our hearts that we've had an encounter with you and you alone. So thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, Paul does talk about their obedience, as we see there in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, again, as I've already read, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. It's almost like he's coming back to once again, because he kind of said that a little while ago there in verse 7. He says, you know, that whatever, verse 27 of chapter 1, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence. And so it's almost like what he said there in chapter 1, verse 27, he's kind of coming back and he's repeating himself again, kind of prayer, you know, phrasing it in a different way, that as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence when I was with you, but now much more in my absence. You're obeying what God wants you to do. You're following through with it. You're continuing. You're conducting yourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as he said there in verse 27 of chapter 1. That you are all standing firm, verse 27 again, chapter 1. You're standing firm in one faith, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, and being filled with the fruit of righteousness, as he said earlier in his prayer, there in chapter 1, verse 11, but also that, you know, even in the midst of opposition, God is doing a work in your lives. He has an overall purpose for each one of you. As you sit here in this pew, as you get out into and go home later on in the day, or whatever activity that you have planned for this afternoon, or whatever's going on throughout the week, God has an overall purpose for each and every one of you. As he said there, you know, there's a work that's going on. Work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. We don't earn salvation. It's only by grace that you're saved through faith. But God is doing something incredible in your life and in your heart. And sometimes suffering comes into the picture as we walk with Jesus. Paul's prayer, remember that there in verse 9 of chapter 1. He said that you would all be pure and that you would be blameless. Pure and blameless was his calling upon your life. He says there, you know, continue to work that out, to be pure and to be blameless with fear and trembling. Not that we need to be afraid of God, but that there's that sense of humility and that sense of reverence, that we are in the presence of a holy God, that you are in the presence of Jesus Christ, who is with you and with me. He doesn't just show up on a Sunday when we come to worship. He shows up every single day in your life and in your heart. And he's always, always speaking, as I was reminded of it this past week through a dear brother. He's always speaking. And the question is, do you hear what he's saying? Do I hear what he's saying to me as I continue my journey, as I continue to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, knowing very well, as Paul says in verse 13, that it is God who's working in you to will and to act according to his purpose. God is working. God is moving. God is showing up in your life. Do you hear what the Spirit is saying? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? I mean, I've met people, you know, who don't know what Jesus is saying to them, who don't have a clue when his voice speaks. They think they know, but they're not sure if they know. You can absolutely know. And I believe there are three tools that God, and I'm sure there are other tools as well that I just want to use, because I believe we find those three tools that I'm going to mention, you also find that Paul makes reference to here in the church that he's writing to, the church of Philippi. The very first tool I believe that God uses to speak to us is the Word of God, are the Scriptures that God uses. In fact, you know, if you have your Bibles there, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." What's at work in you? God's word. The word of God. The scriptures. And so if we're not spending any time, I'm not, you know, throwing this as a guilt trip, you know, but, you know, if you're in love with someone, you spend time with them. Do you not? As I was in love with my wife, the worst thing I could have done is say, well, okay, I'm in love with you, but I'm not going to spend any time with you. How far do you think that relationship would last? It wouldn't last very long, right? But because of the love that I had for my wife, I wanted to spend time with her, whether it be in the morning or in the afternoon, even when we were going to college together as well. I mean, I remember this one time when I was in college, you know, I was the guy that always kind of sat towards the back in the classroom of the professor, you know, who was teaching whatever class that it was. Well, when she entered my life, guess where I wanted to sit? I was no longer in the back. I wanted to be up front, close to her. The professor even commented, "Rich, why are you sitting up here so close?" I think it has something to do with her. And I remember, you know, my last pastor, when I was at Valley View Alliance Church, we had a group of guys, you know, teenagers, young teenagers. And, you know, teenagers were kind of typical, you know, at that time. At least when I was preaching, you know, they all be sitting in the pew, kind of way, not way in the back, but kind of back there. And their heads would be down. And you know, I had no idea. They'd be talking among themselves as well. Who knows what they were saying? I mean, it was just an observation that I made until a group of girls came. And these group of girls had an interest in some of these boys. And these group of girls, you know, when they showed up, you know, their eyeballs were just kind of glued to the front. And all of a sudden, guess what? These boys were no longer looking down. They started listening. And they started watching. And I thought, boy, it's amazing an impact a lady can have on a guy. As it did for them. And the same thing, you know, with my wife as well. Spending time. So, when we declare how much I love Jesus, and if you want to know about Jesus, guess what? You're going to want to spend time with Jesus. And the way that we spend time with Jesus is by reading the Word of God. Now, I suggest not reading the book of Leviticus, because you'll get lost in that. And there's other passages as well. And I like what my wife wrote one time in a Bible to a person. She said, if you want to fall in love, when you fall in love with Jesus, as she said, you'll want to know more about Jesus. And as you want to know more about Jesus, she suggested to read the Gospel of Mark, or read the Gospel of John, or read the Gospel of Matthew, or read the Gospel of Luke. There you read about Jesus and his love, his healing, his deliverance, his power, his authority, his tender compassion that he has. You can read that in other passages as well, but if you want to know about Jesus, read the Gospels. And don't feel you need to read the whole, you know, the whole, all of Matthew, you know, within a week. Just take certain segments, certain passages. And allow the Spirit of God to say, Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to hear your voice speaking to me. You've told me, you know, to work out my salvation. Not to work for it, but to work out of it. And I desire to be pure. I desire to be blameless. I desire to be the man or woman that you so desire for me to be. But I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this through my own ability. I need to rely upon you. And God, I want something fresh. I want something new. I want something exciting that comes from the Word of God. And I believe that as you spend time in God's Word, and you mean that in your heart and your soul about the Bible, God will reveal that to you. The Bible does say there, and like what the word the psalmist said, you know, the psalmist said there in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, it says, listen now, how can a young man keep his way pure? Paul talks about what? Purity here in this letter, does he not? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Lord, help me not to stray from your word. Help me not to stray from your commands. But I will hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. How can you keep yourself pure? By God's word. Feasting upon the riches of God's word. And Paul talks about that throughout, so far anyway, the book of Philippians. He doesn't say the word of God, but what does he say? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What have you been reading this past week? Where Jesus just spoke to you, made some things aware in your own journey, in your own life. I know for me, he's been speaking to me how I need to honor this body to honor him. This body is to honor him. Because this body, your body, my body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in his fullness through his Spirit, he lives within you. And when I think about the body, I think about my eyes, I think about my ears, I think about this tongue, I think about, you know, my hands, I think about my feet, I think about my entire body. Because Paul says there in the book of Romans, you know, he said, you've been slaves to unrighteousness. So don't offer your parts of your body to slaves of to unrighteousness, but to offer your body as righteous to God. Every member of your body, if there's a member in your body that seems to get you into trouble, offer it to God, saying, God, I give you my eyes because I know I've been seeing things that I shouldn't be looking at. God, I offer you my ears because my ears have been listening to things that I shouldn't be listening to. God, I offer you my mouth, my tongue, because I've been speaking and saying some things that have been very harmful, very destructive, and very hurtful. God, I offer that to you. Because I so desire, as the Philippians here, until the day of Christ, until his appearing, that he would declare us, you've been pure, you are righteous, you are holy. I have clothed you with the garment of praise. I have clothed you with the garment of salvation, and with the robe of righteousness I have clothed you. Wow. Has he been speaking? Has he been stirring your heart? I mean, in our world that we live in today, I just wonder how much more time it will be before the trumpet will sound. I really do. I think I mentioned this before. I remember my father years ago. He said to me, he said, Rich, I remember as a boy going to camp at Mahaffey, you know, when I was a teenager, and preachers would always talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said, not that I'd never denied it. I believe Jesus was going to come back, you know, any day, any hour. He said, but in the generation that I'm living right now and what I see unfolding before my very eyes, I believe this could be the generation that will actually hear the very trumpet of God. It could be our generation, the baby boomers. If not, I wonder about our grandkids, if that could be the generation. We're living in some exciting times, some horrible times, yes, but it's the most exciting time in the world, and I think, God, help me to be true to your word and allow you to speak to me to work out your overall purpose, to will and to act the word of God. And not just body, my body, your body. You know what part gives you fits. You know what part gives you anxiety, frustration, where you kind of say, oh, there I did it again. Where you kind of feel stuck. But I'm here to say you don't have to be stuck. There is deliverance and there's healing in the name of Jesus. There are nights in my bedroom as the Lord just impressed it upon my heart, even more so as I get older. I don't know what this is about getting older, you know, because, yeah, the older I get, I know my body's kind of slowing down. I know my body's kind of breaking down as well. But as I get older, I see my need for Jesus even more than I ever had before. Not to make excuses for my past life, but I think when I was younger, you know, when you're younger, you just feel invincible, you know, and you can mount anything and do anything. But I guess when you get older, you kind of slow down a bit. And as you get older, you know, I'm more in tune. Although I know I fail, but I want to be more in tune with Jesus. I want to hear him speaking to me. I want to say, God, you know, work out. I know I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, that I'll humble myself before you. Because remember, you know, Jesus, you know, he did not insist on his rights. He did not demand attention. He spoke truth. Nothing to be grasped. Remember how I said, you know, how we tend to grasp things in life? What is it you're trying to grasp in life for control? And that happens to a lot of people as they get older. The fear of losing control. And they try to have control because they're losing too much. And Paul had an answer for that. That really doesn't matter. Because what matters is I want Jesus to hold on to me and control me. And my life and my body, my spirit and my soul. That's just one tool. The other tool that I believe God used, and Paul makes reference to it as well, there in chapter 1, there verse 9, the other tool is that of prayer. That of prayer. God uses the word of God to speak to us. And I trust, you know, because that's my desire. When I'm spending time with God, you know, in His Word, I mean, I'll be honest, my the greatest battle is right up here. Because sometimes when I'm reading God's Word, if I'm overly tired, and if I'm exhausted, I do. You know, one of those numbers. You know, I snap my neck, fall asleep, or I get distracted about other things. It happens to all of us. Maybe not you. I know it happens to me, okay? And I thought, Lord, I need to know. I don't want to miss what you have for me. Thou keep my life pure. Even though the psalmist said, how can a young man, I believe that's also true, how can an old man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Against Christ. In thought, word, and deed. But prayer. Prayer is, you know, as the Bible says there in prayer, you know, I like what Paul said there in the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 3, verse 20, you know, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that's at work in your life and in my life even right now. As I take the Word of God and as I begin to read the Word of God, you know, then I bring that passage into focus, you know, say, okay, Lord, you've talked to me about honoring you with this body. You've talked to me, you know, about how you're speaking to me. God, I want to take this to you in prayer because my desire, Lord, I can't control this body. I can't control this sinful nature. I can't control this selfish desire. God, I release it to you. I come to you with an open hand, an open heart, that you would fill it more with yourself, with your love, with your kindness, with your gentleness, with your goodness. I take that to the Lord in prayer. Because He's able to do immeasurably more according to His power that longs to be released through you. He's working out to act and to will according to His good purpose in your life and in my life as well. You know, an amazing thing is sometimes, you know, sometimes I think my prayer is just kind of, oh, man, I don't know if I'm getting through. Have you ever felt that way, you know, when you're talking to your kids? Do they hear what I'm saying to them? There we go. God, amen. Yeah. You just kind of wonder about that. Sometimes I feel that way, you know, when I'm talking to God. I mean, it just, you know, and I know better than that. I know better than that. But sometimes when I feel like I'm not getting through, or maybe when God is speaking to you, but I'm so hard-headed that I don't see what He's saying, or I don't hear what He's saying, God is so loving and so patient. I thank God that He is. But, you know, I take comfort in the book of Romans. Twice, it reminds me that the Holy Spirit, who's in every child, is making intercession for you. Even with words that you're not sure how to articulate. Because He knows down deep what's going on inside. And also, there in the book of Romans, it says that Jesus is interceding for you right now. I wonder, how could He do that? To intercede for each one of us right now. Are you able to wrap your head around that? I mean, all I can do is just to think about one person, you know, pray for that one person, you know, then I'm on to the next person. But Jesus, at this very moment, this very hour, He is He is seated at the right hand of the Father, declaring that the work that He had accomplished here on earth, it is finished, it is complete, nothing more needs to be done, but this work is not done because He's praying. We always want a brother or sister who will pray for us. And we share that innermost need, you know, with them. And sometimes we know, humans as we are, we sometimes forget. guess what? Jesus never forgets. He doesn't. And when you read the book of Acts, the birth of the church, bathed in prayer. And when the church prayed, things happened. What does that say about us? Prayer. Prayer. The third tool. And Paul talks about prayer. The church of Philippi, chapter 1, verse 9. This is my prayer for you folks. This is my prayer. And then he also talks about suffering, the third tool, suffering. Suffering. And when I think about suffering, I got to go to there in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles there. In 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and following, it says this: Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Because what do we think when we're going through trials, suffering, pain? Why is this happening? I don't understand it. I've been there. I've had the same questions as well. Peter says, don't think it's strange as something what's been happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory in God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name, for it is the time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, it will be outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel. And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, who will become the ungodly of the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Suffering. And Paul even says there in chapter 1, verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for him. But to suffer for him. Wow. Wow. You know, when I think about suffering, painful that it is, and Peter talks about the fiery trial. You know, the fiery trial sometimes has a way of burning away the dross that may be within, to purify, to bring wholeness and completeness. And how we need the body and how we need Jesus and to stay connected even to the time of suffering that we go through, not to stay away from. And I think of an ember that's in a hot coal, you know, in a fire. And as that fire dies down, there are these fiery embers that are there, white, pure as if. All the impurities going out of that wood, if I can use that phrase. But if I take a pair of tongs and pull out one ember and lay it off to the side by itself, what's going to happen to that one ember? It's going to cool down and go out. And God sometimes may say, you're trying to do things on your own and you wonder why your life is so empty and so cold and so indifferent. You've been trying to do it in your own strength and not relying upon me, or relying upon the body that I have given to you to keep that ember alive. Because if I put that ember that's becoming cold, put it back into the fire, it continues to heat up. Now eventually, and I find it, you know, amazing, because I have a big old fire pit out back in my yard. I gather brush and so forth, and when I think it's time, especially when it's wet in the morning, I thought that's the time to, you know, set it ablaze. And I got this big old fire kind of going. But it's amazing, you know, because if we don't get any rain, the next day I can go down to it and just put my hand over it. Not in it, but over it, and still feel the heat. Because all those embers are together. Maybe you being an ember to stay together with Jesus, who you will shine like a star, and you hold the word of life. Why should my heart be sad? Why should I complain? Why should I argue? With Christ in me, my hope and my joy, my life, my all. To shine like stars in a world that is so twisted and so distorted and so crooked and so impure. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. But as the Lord speaks to you through the Word of God, through prayer, through suffering, whatever it may be, there may be times in your life we need to go back to that old-fashioned word that doesn't like to be declared anymore, that of repentance. And repentance is, Lord, I'm going to turn away. Turn away from sin. And to believe what you have done and what you have promised. To give my heart to you. To trust you. And to walk with you. And knowing that the old things in my life will give way to some new and incredible things that you have in store for me. The love and the peace and the joy of trusting you. That we would conduct ourselves, as Paul said, in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, to be like him, to be like our blessed Redeemer, Jesus. I trust that's the desire of your heart. Jesus saw the multitudes just as he sees you. Can you not, in a way, try to picture? I know you see me, okay. But try to see Jesus standing here. Because he's here. He said he'd be with us. Can you not picture Jesus standing right here? And being so, what would Jesus be saying to you? Personally. What would he be saying? Do you hear him speaking? Do you hear him wooing you to himself? Can you say in your heart, Lord, I am so tired and weary. I've had a bad week. It's been a rough going. Lord, I know I've said some words. Because he already knows. See, I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know what this morning was like for you. We can pretend with each other. But guess what? You can't pretend with Jesus. You can't. He knows. Do you hear that small voice whispering in your heart? How much he loves you. Arms perhaps maybe extended. And says maybe in a way, my child, I know what it's been like. Been there. In fact, I took it to the cross. I had it nailed to the cross. I want you to experience my life. Can you grasp him? to grasp Jesus. My brother Brad has requested to be anointed and prayed for. Not because I, as a pastor, yes, I announced it last week, but I want you folks to know if there's ever a need that you have and you wish to be prayed for or anointed when the time comes, to talk to myself or Pastor Brad, or Brad, or Pastor Brad. You know who I'm talking about. Because I believe he wants to be obedient to what Jesus is laying upon his heart. Not because it was my announcement. I believe that Jesus triggered it in his heart of his desire. And I'm not saying if you don't come, you know, or not express that desire, I'm not saying Jesus is not. Just allow Jesus to speak to you. But if there ever comes a time or a moment that you wish to be prayed for or even to be anointed as well, in my mind, I often think of communion being, because that's next Sunday, is communion. That's where we should, you know, at least then make things really right with God. I mean, we should make things right with God every day. Don't misunderstand me. But that's a very sacred, for me anyway, a very sacred time. We can offer that again too, to be healed. Any Sunday. I'm just not saying, don't want to lock it into communion Sunday. But Brad has heard Jesus speaking. And so as we know in the book of James, that if any of you are sick, let him call for the elders who will pray over them and anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith will bring that of healing and wholeness. And if there's any sins to be confessed before a holy God who loves you passionately and dearly and to restore wholeness to you. So as Brad comes to be anointed, I know it's kind of late, but if you have to go, I just ask that you go quietly. But I'm going to anoint my dear brother, and we'll pray, and then we'll close with a song. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer.